Yeah.
That's good. How many were signed up?
And then he went to ELCA Churchwide, and he started working as first associate director of outdoor ministries, and then director of outdoor ministries for the ELCA, and now since the time that ELCA had to eliminate its positions that were related solely to outdoor ministry, Mark has continued in his service to the church and on churchwide staff, and as such has been since the inception of LOM, the ELCA's appointed representative to the LOM board of directors. And I've known him for so many of those years and known him to be a supportive and encouraging colleague, a good friend. And most recently, in the recent 5 years, most recent 5 years now that I've served as the executive director of LOM, Mark has been an invaluable resource for me and an invaluable friend in the churchwide organization, friend of all of outdoor ministry. So, Mark, thank you for all your service in the church over these years, and particularly for your service in outdoor ministry and for all of the ways that you have been an integral part of this organization since the time it began. Here we go, everybody. Give a big round of applause for none other than Mark Burkhart.
Thank you, Don. That was a long introduction. Let's see here. I've got to just get to my... Oh, this stupid Zoom thing blocks my... There we go. All right. So here we go. As Brad said, I think in order for us to look ahead a little bit in outdoor ministries, it always helps to take a look backward. And that's what the LTE folks asked me to do today. And so it was a very interesting thing to have to think about. It's not actually something that I've probably intentionally thought about a lot, although once I did start thinking about it in a very intentional way, it wasn't too hard actually to try to identify some ways in which I think outdoor ministries has contributed to the life of our life together as an ELCA and its predecessor bodies. And so what I've done today is try to take a high level view of several areas that I think outdoor ministries has really contributed. And so let me pop that up on the screen right now. I've identified five areas that I want to talk about this morning. First of all, leadership development, experiential faith formation, small group relational ministry, environmental stewardship, and a spirit of generosity. So what I want to do is move through each of those five now and quickly kind of give you a sense of how I think this has taken shape across the years. First of all, leadership development. Now, when I listed these five, I tried not to think about, well, which was the most important and which was the least important. But honestly, I have to say that if I were to put a number one, this would be number one. I really feel like leadership development has been one of the greatest gifts that Lutheran Outdoor Ministries has given to the church. And so I've listed a few points here, and I'll just kind of run through these quickly. The one thing I want to point to right off is the decision that was made, and I, after all the years I've spent studying the history of outdoor ministries, I can't put a time frame on this very clearly. But there was a point at which the folks leading outdoor ministries decided to shift from a volunteer staff to a paid staff. And when they did that, they made the decision to hire essentially college students, young adults, to lead our outdoor ministry organizations during the summer. And that turned out in my mind, to be probably the most significant thing that has happened in terms of outdoor ministry's relationship to the church in many, many ways, certainly in the area of leadership development. And for those of you who have been participating in any way in the work that my colleague Rachel Alley has been doing lately and talking about growing young, you know that one of the things she talks about is something called keychain leadership. And that means putting putting leadership in the hands of young people as soon as possible. And I think Outdoor Ministries has certainly done that by trusting our young adults to lead our programs in the summertime. Across the years, I've developed some language around this that I use, and I want to share that with you today. I've talked about us doing offering internships in ministry, that when we hire young adults to work in our summer camps, that's really what we're doing. We're giving them an opportunity to have an internship in ministry. And it's an internship in ministry that not only gives them leadership skills for potential service in the church, but I believe it gives them practical leadership experience for life, just life in general, regardless of where they go in terms of an occupation, whether it be a teacher, a healthcare worker, a business person, or a pastor. They gain some pretty significant skills. And the way we do that, of course, is we have developed a pretty highly sophisticated way of doing intentional staff training and supervision with the young adults who work for us. Perhaps more importantly, one of the things that we've done is that we've helped develop ways in which leaders can become adaptable, creative, and resilient. Now, if you read any of the literature that's come out in recent years on leadership development, you know that these three words are really key: adaptability, creativity, and resilience. And I believe that our outdoor ministry leaders learn that as they serve. And of course, many people would say that the leadership development opportunities that we have provided in outdoor ministries have been, in fact, a pathway both to rostered and lay leadership in the church. And then I thought about this in one other additional way, and that is all of our boards. When the ELCA came into existence, we began to transition all of our outdoor ministry organizations into essentially standalone nonprofit organizations. And it meant that almost overnight, we had to train a whole cadre of new people to serve as board members in many camps who did not have that tradition. Some did, some didn't. But essentially what we also offer in outdoor ministries is a leadership development for nonprofit board leaders. And I've actually had across the years board members tell me that the skills they've learned as a board member in outdoor ministries, they've taken into other areas of work and service where they serve on other nonprofit boards. And so I wanted to point that out because it's something that I think we don't often think about, but I think it's also a gift to the church. The second area is what I call experiential faith formation. And, you know, if we look back across the history of what I would just loosely call Christian education in the church, so much of that was built on an academic model, right? It was built on a classroom model. You put people in classrooms, often sitting in chairs on desks, at desks, and there's a teacher up front, and you the teacher imparts wisdom to the students, and hopefully they absorb that wisdom and they learn the Bible, they learn what it, they, you know, and I think about that in terms of catechism, for instance. But Outdoor Ministries has approached this in a very different way. And that is that we have lived the gospel together. And what that means is that particularly in our summer camps, we have explored God's word in a lot of different ways and certainly not typically in a classroom setting. We've encouraged campers to express their doubts, ask questions. We know we've practiced creative worship. In fact, we've probably pressed the church way beyond where they've been willing to go at times. But I think it's been a gift. I think it has actually freed up many leaders in the church to think about alternative ways that we can worship together. We've used a storytelling approach in many cases. And we've talked about what it means to live the good news of Jesus in daily life, something that I think the church needs to do way more of in the future. And then a couple of other things. We have done intentional intergenerational learning. I think about family camps, but I also think about other opportunities, certainly things that we've offered during retreat seasons and so forth, where we've brought people together across generations. And then a final piece in this section would be service learning opportunities. We've offered a lot of servant event kinds of things, some that are around peace and justice, some that are around immersion experiences in communities where campers might not normally go, and an opportunity to meet people who are different than them. And so I think that's been a gift to the whole church as well. Moving on, there was a small group relational ministry. There was a significant shift in the 1950s in the way we did camp. And it impacted not only our Lutheran camps, but other religious camps across the country, and in some cases, even some other kinds of camps. We shifted from sort of a large group model of doing camp to a small group model of doing camp. And when we did that, again, it moved us another step away from a sort of that academic model of doing camp, or some would even say, when you look at the history of camping, a military model of doing camp, where so often it was very regimented. This totally freed us up to think about the actual needs of the camper. And so we began to use language like, how do we live together in Christian community? How do we share decision-making? How do we make sure that the gifts of each camper are appreciated, that the differences of each camper are appreciated? How do we learn active listening skills? How do we, I know when I first became a camp counselor in the 1970s, I went through an extensive training at Mount Luther, where Chad is, about healthy communication, how to talk with other people using I messages, how to make sure that we listen carefully to what other people were saying. And that all came about, I believe, as we began to think more clearly about this small group relational ministry piece. It also enabled us to really think more carefully about how we express care and empathy for other people and how we practice affirmation and forgiveness in those spaces. Finally, and this is a more recent one, as the church, especially the ELCA, has gone through some pretty contentious times, with decisions about ecumenical relationships, LGBTQIA issues, and some other difficult things, I've discovered that outdoor ministries has become essentially a safe place for many people to have those kinds of dialogues together. That we haven't, outdoor ministries has kind of taken the approach of not necessarily being strident and lining up on one side or another, but saying we really need to be listening to what people are thinking about, asking about in our outdoor ministries, and allowing that kind of dialogue to take place. And believe me, these days, we need way more of that in our society, places where people can actually feel free to express themselves and to ask questions instead of being judged for whatever it is that they're thinking about. Environmental stewardship. How can one not think about environmental stewardship, right? Many years ago, when we were first starting to gather statistics in the ELCA for for our outdoor ministry organizations, I discovered in looking at those statistics, and this is actually a rather modest, very conservative estimate, that we have at least, I would say, 25,000 acres of land under management by our outdoor ministry organizations across the church. And what that means is over the 100 years that we've had these sites, or less, we've gathered a lot of experience about how do we take care of those sites. And I will say honestly, sometimes we've taken care of them better than others. But by and large, I think we're doing a pretty good job. And so we've gained some experience that I think we can and we have shared with the whole church. Most importantly, I think that we have opened up the natural world to both children and others across all age groups. I've seen that over and over again in outdoor ministries where we've had an opportunity to really help people understand more about the natural world and the cycles of the natural world and how they're actually related to our faith. The themes, for instance, of death and resurrection, of renewal, of how we're all interconnected. There, as all of you know, there are tremendous opportunities for teaching and learning there. We've done and we've developed some intentional environmental education programs across the church, and they've been fantastic. And one of the things we've done is that we have partnered with both the public school system and private schools to offer our sites and facilities and staff to do environmental education. And I think that's been a gift. So not just a gift to the church, but a gift to our the communities in which we serve as well. I also think that we have been modeling in many ways some sustainable practices. And one of those would be that over the last, I would say, 20 or so years, many of our camps have started community gardens where they're growing food, not only for use at the camp, but maybe they're sharing that food in the community with food pantries as well. And that has enabled us to talk with campers about what it means to grow food, be responsible for food, and how that impacts how we look at issues of hunger around the world and right here in our own country. And then as I've worked with boards across the years, one of the things that we've begun to do is talk about the possibility and in some cases the reality of putting some of the land that we're responsible for into conservation easements or land trusts. And a number of our camps have now done that. It has the benefit of knowing that regardless of what happens to our ministry in the future, that the land is going to be protected. But it also has the added benefit of providing, in many cases, some much needed financial capital for our outdoor ministry organizations. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've done that. The fifth and final area that I want to touch on this morning is what I call the spirit of generosity. And this was, of all the ones that I thought about, this is the one that kind of surprised me the most when I thought about it. It actually surprised me. I had not previously thought much about this, although I certainly had experienced it as a leader in outdoor ministry. And that is that I think from the very beginning of our history, 100 years ago, generosity has been something that we've not only been practicing, but learning and teaching. If you go back and read the history of many of our outdoor ministry sites, they were gifts. Gifts from individuals, gifts from groups of individuals who got together in many cases, and Ralph Uhrenberg loves to tell this story, of people who mortgaged their farms, people who sold property, sold houses in order and took that money and used it to help buy a piece of land where they could start a camp. What that has enabled us to do later then is to invite people of faith into a shared ministry that matters. You know, and there are other models in the church. We have social ministry organizations. We have colleges and universities. We have seminaries. But honestly, I have to say that of all the ministries in the church, outdoor ministries is the one that I believe is closest to the ground, in the sense that people who give to outdoor ministries and contribute to outdoor ministries do so because they know it has an impact on them, on their neighbors, on their friends, and on their family. And they value that, and it is an opportunity for them to serve. And at the heart of things, and now you're going to get my view on stewardship a little bit, is people want to be generous. People of faith want to be generous, and they're looking for opportunities to be generous. And I think our outdoor ministry organizations have given an opportunity for people in the church to be generous, both with their time, with their leadership, and certainly with their financial gifts. And finally, I want to say a word about stewardship and accountability. And I think this past year, during the pandemic, we've seen the perfect example of that in outdoor ministries, because as camps, camp boards, camp leaders, as LOM started talking about what the pandemic would mean for the future of outdoor ministries, we make sure that we continue to be good stewards of what we've been gifted. And that included the land and the properties that we had, but also the ministry that we have. And I've just seen over and over again this past year in particular, how our outdoor ministries have really modeled good stewardship and accountability for the whole church. And I think people in the church have noticed that, and they've appreciated that, and they've gotten behind our outdoor ministry organizations because of that. We have handled the gift we've been given in a really fine way, and have done that for many, many years. And I believe continue to do that. I only wish that some of our congregations would learn that as well, because I think it is something that we have to share with the whole church. And so just to quickly recap, these five areas then, I believe, are the legacy that Outdoor Ministries has really left for the church up to this point: leadership development, experiential faith formation, small group relational ministry, environmental stewardship, and a spirit of generosity. And so I leave that with you. And I believe that we're going to have an opportunity now to think about what all that means for our future together in outdoor ministry.
Thank you very much, Mark. That was really, really good and thought-provoking. And the one that I don't think about all that much that you have particularly helped me to think about is that final one, the spirit of generosity. I think that's an important area of contribution to LOM for outdoor ministry to lift up. And I thank you for doing that. I think it's back to Brad now to talk about where we go from here on this session.
Well, I was going to see if there were any questions first. I don't see any in the chat room right now, but for Mark, if you do have, why don't you throw them up there? Because Mark, I will ask you one question here. We were all worried about 15 years ago, what was going to happen to outdoor ministry when we were having to leave under the financial support of the larger church of the ELCA. What do you see being the biggest challenges and the biggest opportunities for us as you look towards our future?
Wow, that's a huge question. but thank you for asking, because I think it is something we all need to think about. Actually, when I look back to the last 10 years that we've been apart from the churchwide organization, in the sense of at least not having staff there, I actually think in retrospect, it was a gift. It was a gift. We didn't know it at the time. I certainly didn't feel it at the time, but it was a gift because what it enabled us to do was really take responsibility for our own stuff and not rely upon someone else to be organizing our affairs all the time. And I have just been so pleased with the way all of our outdoor ministry organizations have stepped up and really taken responsibility and become part of supporting an organization like LOM and saying, you know, this is our ministry. We need to be responsible for it. It's part of that stewardship and accountability that I talked about there at the end. And I think we can do that. And we have shown that we can do that. I think moving forward, you know, we continue to be challenged. Let me just say one of the things that sort of troubled me across the years, and it's not programmatic, it's more practical, it's more financial, is, you know, operating a camper retreat center is a really expensive proposition. It is not inexpensive, and it's going to get more expensive. And I don't mean just all the expenses that we typically think about, but I also think about regulations, right? And I think about like the camp in New Jersey where I used to serve and where Anthony serves now. I mean, the state got, you know, New Jersey is the most densely populated state in the United States. And the state got really concerned about overdevelopment. And so they put into place a sort of statewide land management plan that made sense for the state of New Jersey, but it really puts the clamps on a ministry like Crossroads and its ability to grow and to change because they're extremely limited now in what they can do on that site. Now, I realize that many of our camps operate in other parts of the country where that's not an issue, but I also know that I believe that regulations around not only how we use our properties, but regulations about, and you all know this, about how we deal with healthcare. We've seen that during the pandemic. How we deal with other ways of interacting with the public, with children in particular, with you know all the child protection things. It's going to continue to be extraordinarily challenging and probably way more expensive to continue to do these ministries. And so I worry a little bit about whether or not we can sustain that over the long haul, at least in as many places as we have now. And so I actually, you know, as much as I don't like to think about it or say it, I think over time we will have less camps. We will not be able to sustain probably as many sites as we've had in the past. I could be wrong. We've been blessed in not having to do that up to this point in many ways. But I just think it's going to get more and more challenging for us, especially as the church, unless the church turns things around. So here, you know, we all know that the church is, and not just the ELCA, but other denominations as well, are in decline. Our numbers are shrinking. If we can turn that around, that will bode better for us. If we don't, it's going to be really challenging.
Thanks, Mark. There has been request that would you be willing to share your PowerPoint presentation that people could use with their boards?
Absolutely.
All right.
You'll just need to tell me where I need to send that and I'll do it.
I believe
send it to Chad.
Okay.
And we'll get it on the website.
Perfect.
So. Well, thank you. What we would like to do is take a little bit right now in small groups to share some visionary things about what we see for the future, you know, congregational ministry. I am married to a pastor and there are certain things that they have been forced to do. And as they look to the future, there are certain things that they will do with worship that they will keep using, you know, an online presence with worship, because they realized there was a whole group of people they were not touching that were members of their congregation. And so as we look to the future of outdoor ministry, what are some of our opportunities and some of our challenges? So that's what we're going to discuss in small groups. And then we will gather again as a large group to share some ideas. So Dana, take it away.
All right, we're going to move into breakout rooms. So bring back an idea to share. And we're coming back at what time?
Ten to.
All right, here we go.
So it looks like most of us are back. Can we have people just volunteer to share from their different groups? We've got about 9 minutes here, what you talked about, so that we can share that with the whole group. And if you have written notes, if you could get those to Gretchen. Gretchen, if you could type in the chat where you want those to go to, I think that would be awesome as well. So.
Brad, I'll go ahead for our group. I think we were just starting to talk about something I think that was really interesting as we look at opportunities and future of LOM, that we were talking about tapping into the passions of young adults and talking about the passions of diversity and inclusion and conservation. And rather than focusing necessarily all the time on the need for young adults as, say, summer staff, how could we tap into those passions to find ways that we can have mutually beneficial relationships that encourage those passions, that also teach us, but find ways that maybe they can help lead us in these areas too.
I will go for our group and say that we want to piggyback on that a little bit. We were talking about the social responsibility, and I think a lot of that has to do with the passion as well for being that safe place for people to be, continuing much of what Mark said. We saw all of those as being important that we continue those, but there may be a need to go beyond and to work a little harder at being that safe place for social justice, inclusion to happen in a more communal and live out that more fully in our programs.
I can go ahead for our group. We touched base on kind of how what it means to like make true partnerships and looking for kind of expansion in the community and not just relying on the support and the market of the Lutheran community, but also expanding just completely outwards as well.
Probably.
I'll piggyback off from that with our group with kind of the idea of collaboration and partnerships, and also Mark's idea of creativity in that. There were lots of examples that our group talked about how we can partner together and network with other ACA camps. Lee talked about kind of a regional focus. How do we change from, you know, looking things nationally to regional and how we can partner together that way? We also talked about ACA camps around Oregon working together for legislation as they're moving forward. Also the idea of full-time staff positions that can be shared with other camps. That we're recognizing that at our own camp, we may not need a full-time position, but as you partner with others, you can create full-time positions, but partner together. And how we partner with other camps, Presbyterian camps, camps that aren't necessarily Lutheran. So I think that idea of partnership and collaboration and creativity in that as we move forward was kind of the key focus that our group was talking about.
I think we talked a little bit about that as well, but more in a sense of, we know we have partnerships with the churches, but looking at how we can be a bigger presence in the communities, looking at potentially, you know, in one case, an outdoor kindergarten and different other things. And then also talked about continuing the virtual aspect. How can we continue what we've learned to that, whether it's using different models of that with staff training or sharing our camp worships with our churches, those kinds of things. And realizing that while the numbers in our churches, in some respects, some of them may be going down, the numbers of children are not.
I can go for our group. Our group, I think we just talked about a general sense of how during all this it's kind of separated a lot of people and how it's kind of building up that sense of community and looking to this summer if camp happens that we should probably, a lot of people are probably going to opt to do more smaller groups. And I think with smaller groups, there comes a certain level of personal things that could happen in a small group. It's a lot better ways to keep people connected and stuff like that. So just trying to look up and try and see the bright side and taking all these different, any different problem or thing you can see as a problem, just looking for that general silver lining as we look forward to the following year or years of COVID and whatnot.
Well, if nobody else is going to jump in and share, on behalf of the LTE committee, I just want to say thank you. This is the last event that we are hosting. There are more events with the LOM conference. Tomorrow is the auction, and Sunday is the worship. And if somebody wants to talk to that, I don't know if Daniel's on here to talk about the auction at all.
He's on a plane right now.
Okay, Dave, is there anything you want to share?
Just know the silent auction is going right now. And again, if you have another e-blast going out of your organization to your people, we want to open that part of it at least to as many people as possible so that all the proceeds from that will go to LOM. And then the live auction, you should have received an email yesterday that had a link for the live auction in it. I see some heads nodding, yeah. If you didn't, man, I don't even know. Why don't you email me and I'll get a hold of Daniel. We'll figure out what happened, or maybe talk to Chad. But figure out who did not get that. But if you did not get that link, get hold of one of us and we'll make sure you have. I have the link, I could forward mine on to you. So we can do that. But that time is really meant to be just community time together. There's like five live items. It's just going to be fun. There's ways to bring as many of your people as possible. We're going to be in one big Zoom room like this, and it'll just be good to be together and play a little bit and maybe raise a little money for LOM too. So, and then worship.
This is an announcement, but I just like to thank the LTE folks. So you guys have put on a great week of learning. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I know we've got the worship, but our Gretchen's on here someplace. I don't see her offhand, but Gretchen, as our Grand Poobah within the LTE committee, do you have something to share about evaluations? And then you can turn it back to Don.
Yes, we're working on just a really simple evaluation to get a little bit of feedback. We certainly hope we don't have to do this next year, but that doesn't mean it can't be an option for continued learning. So if you get that, it'll probably come from Chad. If you can fill it out, give us your feedback, that would be greatly appreciated. But if all goes as it should, the leadership training event will be next November, the 4th through the 8th, I think, something like that, at Luther Park in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. We would love to see 30 of you or more sitting in the same room as us. but we'll keep you posted on that. So thank you for participating. This wouldn't have happened if you hadn't signed up. So back to Don.
I want to echo the words of gratitude to the LTE committee for putting this sequence of sessions together. It's been fantastic. It's been fantastic for us all to have this opportunity to be together. The conference next year, the 8th to the 13th, put it on your calendars. And don't forget that each of our LOM organizations will get two representatives at the conference where the expenses will be totally paid for. So you want to take advantage of that. And it's going to be a really, really good way to celebrate all of us being able to be back together again live. Yes, the devotions today are at 12, half past the hour, 30 minutes from now, 29 minutes from now. And our devotional leader is Sarah Erickson, who is co-executive director at Mount Cross in California. I think it will be good experience. I doubt that it will go beyond half an hour. It's probably be more like 20 minutes or so. And then of course we have the auction tomorrow night. So, Chad, we'll get the link for tomorrow night's live auction onto the website. Is that correct?
I think I already put it on.
It's already on there. So if you need that link, just go to the LOM website for
There's also been some questions about worship on Sunday. From my understanding, worship is pre-recorded, will be pre-recorded, and the links will be shared. It's not a live event.
Thank you.
Check the Facebook pages.
Yep. Thank you, Chad. And thank you, everybody, for being on this week. Keep posted. Read the newsletter. Read your email blast, because there'll be through the year 2021 all kinds of things like this that will be happening, not the least of which will be the total inclusion events that the Total Inclusion Steering Committee is putting together. So all kinds of great things coming up. Thank you, everybody. And